Hello and good morning again. Thank you for being with us for worship this Sunday morning. You know, as we read today's story and we think about what it means to show gratitude, what it means to be blessed by God and in turn to respond to that blessing. And I'm mindful of a story from my own personal experience. When I was going to seminary, I knew a couple of years before I went that I was going to go to seminary, and I'm the sort of person that I like to plan ahead. I like to know what I'm going to be facing. I like to be a little strategic about what sort of things that I do in preparation for things. And so everyone had told me one of the hardest parts of seminary is that you have to learn how to read Greek. Greek is the language that most of the New Testament was written in. And so for my seminary, in order to go to school there, you had to pass a competency exam in Greek. And the way you did that is you went to a Greek summer school. So for 7 weeks, you would study Greek. For that final eighth week, if you passed your competency exam, you would spend a week learning to read the Bible in the original Greek, and then you could sign up for your classes and be ready to go to seminary. If you didn't pass that exam, you had to go home. I knew that was more pressure than I wanted. And so I spent a couple of years before I went to seminary studying Greek as an undergraduate at Marshall University. So I took four classes to learn to read ancient Greek at Marshall University. So when I got to seminary, I was all ready to go. In fact, during that first week of summer school Greek, I remember my professor saying to me, "Russ, you're catching on very, very quickly." And I said, "Well, that's because I've had four semesters of Greek," which was the wrong thing to say, because the professor, being a very wise man, then said, "Oh, well, I'll give you a different workload. We really want to challenge you as well." So I remember thinking, why in the world did I open my mouth? But the other element to it was he came to me and said, "Some of our students are struggling a little bit with this. Would you be willing to tutor them?" And I said, "Absolutely, I would be happy to share what I know with other people." And so he set me up with this fellow by the name of Ed Stills. Ed was an older student. Well, he seemed older to me at the time. Looking back on it now, he was probably in his 30s or 40s. But he'd reached that point in life where learning a new language was much more of a challenge than it is when we're young. And so I sat down with Ed. Most evenings, we would go over his homework and my homework, and we would talk about Greek, and we would talk about verbs and nouns and all of the things that go to make the language work. And we would do these tutoring sessions. I didn't ask for anything in return. I was just happy to share what I knew. And so when the final came and the competency exam happened, Ed walked away disheartened. And he says to me, "Russ, I'm just going to go ahead and pack my stuff up and go home now." He says, "I know there's no way in the world I passed that competency exam. It just was much harder than I thought it was going to be. It's been really nice knowing you. I hope seminary goes well." And he went home. The next day, they posted the scores for the competency exam. Ed actually got one of the better scores. So I had to call him up and say, "Ed, come back to school. You passed." And which he was very excited and happy about. At the time, I was living in the dorms of the seminary. This was a year before my wife and I got married, and I didn't have a car. We lived about a half a mile or so away from a grocery store, and so I'd walk to the grocery store, and I'd get my bags of groceries, and then I'd walk back to the seminary. And it was in Columbia, South Carolina. It was brutally hot. It was a long walk, and when I say it was uphill both ways, I'm actually not kidding. It was uphill one way, downhill the other way, but uphill one way, downhill the other way. And one day, Ed sees me walking into the dorms. And he says, "Russ, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I just got some groceries. I'm going back to my room to put my groceries away." He says, "Why are you walking in this heat?" I said, "Well, I don't have a car." He says, "But you know I have a car." I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, why didn't you ask me to drive you to the grocery store?" And I said, "Well, I don't want to be a bother. So I don't want to take your time. I can walk. It's okay." And he says to me, "You spent all that time helping me learn Greek, and I have great appreciation for what you did. You helped me to be able to stay at seminary and achieve my dream of being a pastor." He says, "Why did you do it?" why did you help me? Because you didn't get paid for it. And I said, well, it made me happy to be able to help you. It made me feel good to be able to pass along what I knew. He says, so it was a blessing to you to be able to help me. I said, oh, yes, I felt very blessed by having the opportunity to help you. He says, well, why don't you ask me then to drive you to the grocery store? Because then I'd be helping you. And then I'd feel good about helping you. And then I'd feel blessed that I'd done something for you. He says, you felt blessed because you helped me learn Greek. But you're robbing me of my opportunity to feel blessed by helping you get groceries. I'd never thought about it that way before in my life. I never thought that by not accepting help, I was actually robbing someone of a good experience. In fact, I thought of it the exact other way around. I felt like if I was helping someone, that I was if I was asking for help for someone, I would be inconveniencing them and taking something away from their life. Ed taught me to think differently about being blessed and being appreciative. And in today's gospel lesson, we have 10 people who are blessed. They come to Jesus and they have a distinctive problem. They have a horrible skin disease. Leprosy actually covers a whole lot of bases. There's a traditional leprosy, but there's a lot of other diseases that would have presented exactly like leprosy in the ancient world. But the long and the short of it is, you have a horrible skin disease, you can't be around normal people, and eventually it kills you. And that's awful. So these 10 lepers come to Jesus and say, Jesus, please help us, we're lepers, which took a lot of courage. His lepers weren't supposed to talk to people. In fact, they were supposed to have bells on their clothes and shout, unclean, unclean, wherever they went, so people knew to clear out of the street and leave them alone. But instead of doing that, they shout, Jesus, help us, Jesus, help us. And Jesus does. He says, go to the temple and show yourself to the priests. And you kind of have to understand that the priests sort of worked in Jesus' day like public health officers. They would determine whether you were healthy enough to be around normal people. They would declare you clean if you were clean. They would declare you acceptable for people if you were acceptable for people. And 9 of those people walk away and they go off to the temple to find the priest to declare them clean. But one of them, and we're told it's a Samaritan, not even a Jew, but a person from Samaria, and it's a complicated relationship between Samaria and Judea. And they still believed in God, they just had a different style of worship, and there's all sorts of conflict. But the long and the short of it was the Samaritan was an extra cast out, because he was not only cast out because he was a leper, he was a cast out because he was a Samaritan. He returns back to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, praise God. Praise God that you have given me back my life. And this is where it gets interesting. Jesus turns to that leper, that Samaritan, and says, go forth, because your faith has made you whole. See, those other 9 guys, they go off to get an approval from a priest who tells them that they are worthy to re-enter the kingdom of humanity, the normal day-to-day life of Israelites. But that man who comes back to Jesus, who expresses his appreciation, in expressing his appreciation, he gets an extra blessing. And that extra blessing is that Jesus says, go forth, your faith has made you whole. Jesus is essentially telling him that he is acceptable, not just acceptable for the kingdom of man. No, Jesus is telling him that he's acceptable for the kingdom of God. 9 people were healed. 1 person was saved. And it was that expression of appreciation, that return to Jesus, that seeking out to express the appreciation that made all the difference in the world. When we allow ourselves to be a part of this process, we allow ourselves to be appreciative, it puts us in a position to receive more blessings. Because there's this interaction happening between Jesus and the lepers. He gives them something, and they leave. But one returns to give something back to Jesus. He returns to give him thanks and praise. And Jesus, in return, blesses him even more. There's so many blessings in our lives that we miss. We miss them because we're afraid to ask for them. We miss them because we think it's troubling God to ask for a blessing that we need. When God, more than anything else in the world, wants to bless us, wants to give us that blessing, wants to take us to the grocery store. But we hold back. We hold back our praise and appreciation. We also hold back our requests. We isolate ourselves away from what God wants to be a cycle of asking, receiving, blessing, and appreciating, which makes our life so much richer. We step back from that, partially because we don't want to bother God, partially because sometimes we feel entitled to the blessings God gives us. And you know, here's the awful thing. When we feel entitled to the blessings that God gives us, we never return to give thanks. And when we never return to give thanks, we miss out on the next blessing, and the blessing after that, and the blessing after that, and the blessing after that. We short-circuit what God has designed to be a cycle of appreciation and blessing. And we simply step out of the cycle and receive the least that we can ask for, a singular blessing. So I say to you, are there people in your life who would like to bless you? Are you robbing them of the opportunity to bless you by being prideful or even polite, by not wanting to trouble others, by not wanting to burden others? Are you robbing others of the opportunity to offer you a blessing and to be blessed in turn for being able to do it? Are you holding back from blessings that you would like to receive from God? Or are you short-circuiting the system of blessing, appreciation, and blessing by not stopping to show appreciation, by engaging in the act of entitlement, saying, you know, boy, I'm so glad this good thing happened to me, and just moving on? Or are you going back to God and saying, thank you, God. Thank you for giving me this blessing that I needed. I praise you for what it is that you've done. Because I'm going to tell you right here and now, when you take that extra step, God's always got a but and in mind. God's always going to say, you were blessed, but I also have this thing that I also want to give you. Because the blessing's good and another blessing is better. God always wants that cycle to continue, that blessing, appreciating, responding, being blessed again. We really cut that cycle in half and actually completely destroy it when we don't return to the blesser to show our appreciation. So I say to you, go out, acknowledge your blessedness. Ask for the blessedness. Respond in appreciation for the blessedness. Allow others to bless you. Let this marvelous shower of blessing and being blessed and blessing others become a part of your life. Don't cut yourself off like the 9 lepers who simply shrugged their shoulders and said, isn't it good that we're no longer lepers? But did not receive a final word from Jesus Christ telling them about salvation. May we forever be the one Samaritan leper.